Hello and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley on another beautiful morning in Central Ohio. Mostly sunny skies today, high right around 77. Now you could see a little bit of clouds and a chance of rain, or as Joel has been mentioning, the National Weather Service says, a sprinkle or two this
afternoon.
That's
the official forecast, Dave. Far be it from me to change their verbiage.
That's what I said. National Weather Service, a sprinkle or two, as they like to say, this afternoon. And then tonight could see a little bit of rain as well, but then it clears right back up. But it does get a little bit cooler. Tomorrow's high, 63 under sunny skies. But then Friday, right back up to 71 for high school football. So again, when you talk about the end of October, this weather has just been outstanding.
I mean, there's no other way to put it. Unbelievable. And Friday night, definitely sweatshirt weather, because as soon as that sun dips below the horizon, the cool sets in.
Oh, I would think. Yeah, you better be prepared for it. There's no doubt about that. But still, just beautiful weather as we look at it coming into the end of October. Big news out of Newark City Council on Monday night. Obviously we reported on it, had some sound clips, but the city has passed their ordinance as it pertains to camping. Will probably go into effect, I think, in 30 days after now that it's been passed by city council. I watched that meeting Monday night. I didn't actually get over there, but watched it. And for about the first hour, it was nothing but citizens' comments, as it should be, folks getting up and talking. Now, there's one thing to have comments, and then there's another thing to start disparaging people and saying, you know, you're not Christian and this, that, and the other. There were some pointed remarks made, and I'll give city council members credit. Doug Marmy tactfully, shall we say, disagreed with those comments. And again, I can understand it's an issue that a lot of folks are passionate about, but to say some of the things that were said was, I just sat there and watched it go, really? I mean, they're not Christians because this is what they try to do, is to try to figure out a way to make this more palatable, if it can be, so to speak, for the homeless, to try to help folks and to help people who feel like they're being violated. It was a little amazing to me.
Well, I mean, we had Licking County United Way in, Deb Dingus, and as far as I recall, adequate services are available. And again, you know, plenty of means and plenty of services for the community. So when the rubber meets the road for a lot of people, when there's laws being broken, and that's what, you know, city council is charged with doing, is try to figure that out. So again, I didn't watch the meeting like you did, but you know, again, we knew it was going to be heated, but when you marry up adequate services and you marry up crime, city council is between a rock and a hard place, in my opinion. You got to do something. So it's not that it's outlawing homelessness. It's just outlawing the encampments. What that'll mean, I guess time will tell whether the homeless people move on to other pastures or whether they start sinking their teeth into the services that are currently being offered. But I mean, there are people in this community that want to help, and there are people that are fed up with nuisance and theft and trash. So it's city council, right or wrong, made a decision. So it's going to be interesting to see the impact on the community moving forward.
Right. I mean, again, one of the, and you hear them all talk about, and I, when I'm at the meetings or watching them, people always talk about, we want safety. Safety is what we want. Well, a lot of folks in the community, especially in an area of downtown Newark, don't feel safe. There's things that are being stolen. You know, as you mentioned, the trash, they're finding needles, you know, things being yelled at people as they're walking just around their own property. I understand it from the safety point of view. I would want that as well. I don't want to have to deal with that. I mean, I'm willing to help people as much as I can. What's the old saying? A hand up, not a hand out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there's a way to help and support these agencies that are working to help the homeless, let's not do that. I mean, we've had Stephanie Van Bibber in here. We've had Trish Perry in here. Do I always agree with what is happening with Newark Homeless Outreach? Not all the time. I mean, I struggle with some of the things that they do, but I give them credit. They're trying. I mean, they're trying to help folks who are homeless, bring them meals, try to figure out how they can help, give them information for resources. I think a lot of people forget that too, that I can give the information doesn't mean that person's going to take it.
It's absolutely true. And, you know, one of the big sticking points, again, the conversations we've had on this show and other places as well, is housing. You know, when you've got someone that finds themselves homeless because of big medical bills, a lost job, a car breakdown, whatever it is, they struggle. And so you've got to meet people where they are, and each individual is a different story. I mean, that's the thing. You can't just make a blanket decision and blanket homelessness across here or really anywhere. So it's a tough situation, but with ample resources around, there should be solutions forthcoming. So again, people that are just miserable and are making other people's lives miserable, there's a pretty good chance that they either get sent to the pokey or move on. And then people that are finding themselves in a homeless situation, you know, resources are available. So that should be the next answer. And then attainable, affordable housing. Hopefully the conversation turns to that. And then solutions, you know, whether council is involved in that or not, planning commissions, construction, zoning, all of those boards need to take a hard look and go, okay, is this the kind of community we want to be? Is this the kind of community that we want to embody? Or is it time for other people to step up and for those people to move on? It's going to be an interesting 2025.
And no doubt about it. I mean, you can get in on that conversation next Tuesday night over at the Warner Center, OSU Newark COTC campus. So we had Deb Dingus talking about it. We'll have more of that coming up in the news later this week. If you want to be a part of that solution, go to this meeting. It's not to be a gripe situation where you go to complain about, oh, I see all this. They need, you know, some ideas as to what to do. I think first off, we all know it comes down to money. So let's make sure we understand that. I mean, if you want to build these homes, you know, and to find places for folks and shelters, you need money to do it. But outside of that, what can be done? What resources are available right now that these folks can use? And this is a good chance to have your voice heard if you haven't been down to city council, because this is countywide now. This, you know, obviously the ordinance that was passed by Newark City Council deals strictly with the city. Mm-hmm. But if you, like me, live out in Pataskala, and there's some homeless, you know, happen to be out there, I don't know, I haven't said that I've seen any, but if you're there, or if you're in the Johnstown area or Hanover area, this is your chance to go and voice, you know, your opinions on how you can try to help these people, what can be done to help them. Yeah, it's funny that, I don't want to say it's funny, it's ironic that this is all coming up as I just started reading J.D. Vance's book, Hillbilly Elegy, and it really is. The parts that I've read so far, it's institutionalized in some of these communities where, hey, this is what a family has always dealt with. So, you know, we won't worry about them because that's what they know. It's kind of scary to think that there could be generations of people that all that they know is this lifestyle and they don't know how to get out of it. They want to get out of it, but they don't know how. Well, the resources are there. Just learn a little bit about it.
Well, I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about Licking County Transit lately. I guarantee you there are jobs. I mean, everywhere still, restaurants, department stores, I mean, up and down 21st Street, up and down Route 13, in communities far and wide, Licking County and beyond, there are people looking for quality workers. And so starting wages, you know, again, if you get started and you're like, that's not a living wage, just keep your nose clean and keep showing up and good things happen. It's how the country still works. So, again, entry level is a focal point for a lot of people. Attainable housing is a focal point for a lot of people. But you got to still be willing to put in some time. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. So, you know, get to the grindstone, get working, and good things happen. And with the transportation that's available and the hubs that are around, again, it should be a solution for a lot of people if they're willing to just put in a little time.
And you mentioned transit. Matt Allison, executive director for Licking County Transit, will be here Friday to talk about, you know, how they're helping people. Another route that's coming in the Heath area to make it even easier for folks. But you are right. I mean, you got to have some skin in the game. And I understand, you know, when people say it's not a livable wage, I get that. I understand that you're going to have to struggle, but you can't get yourself up out of that situation if you don't start. And by starting, I mean, as Joel mentioned, go find a job. They're not hard to find, believe me. Mm-mm. And now with transit that you can take a fixed route, you know that, okay, every whatever day at 6:15, the bus stop is going to be right here. I can hop on that. I can get over to work. And again, I know we make it sound like it's easy. I don't know, because, you know, if you have kids and you're struggling, I get it. I understand that that is an impediment, but you got to figure out a way to do it, because if not, you're going to get caught up in that cycle, and it's hard to break. I mean, it really is hard to break. So, you know, there are plenty of ways to try to get yourself, but you got to be willing to, as you said, put the time and effort in. I mean, you just can't snap a finger and everything is going to be great. I started at Giant Eagle back in 1984 making $4 an hour. Was that the greatest thing in the world? No, but boy, it was to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had that money in my pocket. I'm like, let's go. What can we do? Now I can go have some fun. So it's very hard that you're going to. But nowadays, I mean, $15 an hour to start, $20 an hour to start. If you can get to these jobs, they're out there. How many people wouldn't have killed, so to speak, when you were younger, saying, hey, I'll start you at $15 an hour?
Mm-hmm.
I'd take that.
Yeah.
I'd sign on for that every day.
I agree. I mean, again, it's situationally, it depends on where people are. But as you said, you got to get started, and then good things happen. And if you show up every day, a lot of places in 3 months, 6 months, there's opportunities to move up and the wages become more livable. So, again, you know, what the city council did, it felt like they had to be responsible to their citizens. And with the resources here, again, you know, the misnomer that there are buses of people that are being dropped off here, false statements. But certainly with the amount of resources here, people countywide get attracted in to the densely populated areas, which Newark is one of. And so that's why they had to deal with it.
Yeah. And again, you know, Bill Cost, the only person who voted against that, you know, he understands and he goes, you know, I don't want them on public property or private property if they're breaking the law or leaving trash. He understands that. He just couldn't bring himself to vote for something that could lead people to go to jail if they don't do what they're asked to do. I know, and Tricia Moore, law director, said they're working with maybe having, like, you know, how you have the drug courts and that, where you help folks who are addicted. Mm-hmm. Maybe can you do something to help with housing as well? So for all those folks who are saying, well, they're heartless or they're not Christian and that, they're looking at other ways to get these people some help, get them the resources they need. But it is almost like when you're dealing with a drug addiction, you can give them all the resources you want, but until they're ready to make that change and put in the time and the effort, the sacrifice themselves, it's going to be hard to do it at first. So let's see how it all plays out. But to go back to what I was talking about earlier, to sit up there and name call, again, that's the society we live in. I'm not arguing and trying to say that take your rose-colored glasses off, but it just struck me as funny. Some of these folks who were getting up there and belittling council, calling them not Christian, I thought, well, it's not exactly how I was raised, but, you know, if that's how it is, that's how it is.
Well, that's how it is.
So that's got that coming down. So we will be keeping an eye on that. Obviously, we'll be talking more and more about that over the next month or so with the 30-day when it will be enacted. And again, for the police and for safety forces and for the courts, it's going to put a strain on them as to how they're going to handle all this. So we'll see.
That's it. But you got 30 days to kind of gear up and be ready for it. And I imagine word is going out through the homeless community right now. So people are going to figure out their strategy on how they want to play it
and how they're going to deal with it. So we will keep an eye on that. We'll also keep an eye on some other things taking place around the community. We'll be right back with Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, Wednesday morning. Mix of sun and clouds today. Could see some rain this afternoon, high near 77. Partly cloudy tonight, also a chance of rain, low near 40. And then for Thursday, sunny with a high near 63. It was funny, we just heard the commercial for McGuffey Lane, and you're like, everybody knows McGuffey Lane. They were out at Millersport Sweet Corn Festival the night of the parade. They played for about an hour afterward, and I just kind of hung around for a little bit and listened to some of the music.
Fantastic.
Still sound great.
Oh, my gosh.
And you were saying you saw them first when?
I remember seeing them 1977, Memorial Theater, Mount Vernon, Ohio, God Bless the USA. And, I mean, Long Time Loving You, a great song. But there was one, Green Mountain Valley, Green River Valley, it's been so long ago.
Uh-huh.
But that was the hit for me. I mean, I was like, gosh darn, that song is phenomenal. So they were just right on the bubble. They were just you know, if it just things had broken one way or the other. But John Schwab, I mean, good grief, the guy's been making music his whole life. He's still a great performer, still a great entertainer, tells hilarious stories. I mean, just money.
And 50 years are going to be at the Midland Theater.
Money.
I mean, it's, you know, I remember the Sticks and Stones a number of years ago had their 50th anniversary. It's some good, good music in this community.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Phenomenal.
So, I mean, if you get a chance, check out get on the Midland Theater's website and find tickets. I enjoyed them when I was out at Millersport.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to be honest, that's the very first time I'd seen them.
Really?
Yeah, because again, remember, I didn't move down here for, a number of years ago, and I was like, okay, I'm going to hang around here. And they were, I thought, great. So,
well, you can get you're over. Not the only one.
And again, if you're some Midland Theater, you ever been over there? You ever heard of that place, the Midland Theater? It's
pretty
a great
place.
Yeah, great place to catch a show. So if you get a chance, head over there and check that out for the Midland Theater. Just go on their website. You'll find out more about that. Here's the thing I found interesting yesterday. You know, we hear about all these elections and are they trustworthy and all these kind of things. Well, Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost puts out a press release yesterday. Six people indicted for illegal voting. I thought, okay, well, let me get on here and check this out.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought to myself, first off, six people. And this went back from 2008 to 2020. Now, for everybody who says the elections, you can't trust them, in my mind, six people since 2008, and they're not guilty. They've just been, you know, indicted.
Mm-hmm.
So you wait for all that process to go through. But I think, Joel, it just goes to show that it's not what everybody says it is. And that's how I look at it. I don't know about you, but, and again, these folks ranged in age from 32 to 78. Some were, voted in one state, came back and voted in another. Not sure if they were, you know, what they had to do, as I'm guessing for the one. But I just found it interesting that you hear all this, and here's the Ohio Attorney General coming out and saying, okay, since we look back 2008 to 2020, here's what we have.
Well, I think Ohio has largely been above reproach when it comes to elections and election fraud. I mean, I don't know that it necessarily means that there hasn't been problems in Georgia and Arizona and other places, but Ohio has been fairly buttoned up, and I think that has been time-tested and almost above reproach. So the fact that they found six is kind of surprising to me.
You thought, yeah, I mean, I know, Frank LaRose, and he comes under, scrutiny for some of the things he does. And, you talk to local boards of elections, and we've talked to Licking County. They're very confident in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, is there going to be folks who may, like this, slip through the cracks? Of course they're going to be. I'm not saying there's not. But for folks who keep saying they're worried about what's happening here in Ohio, and that I don't think you should be staying awake at night worried about the vote in Ohio.
Doesn't seem like it. I mean, it's pretty time tested. You go in, most people vote in the same place. So, I mean, the mail-in voting is, to me, making it a little more suspect. You see video of people with a bunch of ballots, and now there's rules where if you're mailing it for someone else, you have to go in and sign a paper, and it just becomes more convoluted and less convenient. I mean, I don't know why the early voting has become such the thing that it has when Election Day worked for so long for so many people. And I know there were some anomalies. It seemed like maybe back in 2008. I remember up in Kenyon College for whatever, one of the precincts there were people waiting for hours and hours and hours to vote. But that might be the catalyst for the mail-in vote, whatever. But when you string it out, it seems like there's more possibility for monkey business. I always felt like, the better plan would be just make Election Day a day off. And that way, you can go to the ballot any time of the day, pick your time and go. But I mean, even so, I mean, I've worked all kinds of goofy hours in my life. I've never had any trouble voting, and I always vote on election day.
Yeah, I go.
You go to the polling place, you pull out your ID, you smile at the nice person, you sign in, you put your ballot in, you pick out your things and go.
Yeah, I'm vote on election day guy. Now, my wife, she's talking about, you know, because before when she was a nurse, if she worked 7 to 7, you pretty much don't have much of an opportunity to do that because you're on the road. So she will go vote early. She's talking about doing it again this year. But again, I don't hold it against anybody. If that's how you want to do it, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm just one of those who thinks, okay, on election day, I'm just going to go. I like talking to the poll workers just to see how the day has gone.
Absolutely.
You can always tell if you walk in and you see a line, you're not going to have much time to talk. But, you know, usually there's not that big of a line, depending on what time you go. I'm sure folks will like, well, when I went, it was busy. Okay, there could be times where, you know, you're not the only one wanting to cast their vote. It's the American thing to do. So, I mean, I don't. If you have to wait, you have to wait. But
almost always see someone you know that you haven't seen for a while in line.
Yep.
And the poll workers, I mean, at my precinct, they don't change a lot. So it's like, hey, how's it going? And those kinds of things. It's just, I don't know, it just seems like the way to do it and the thing to do.
Yeah, so. It's never bothered me to go to the voting locations. And then finally, earlier this week, I had a chance to run over to the Newark Boys and Girls Club and was there for their AT&T handing out those new, I shouldn't say new, but to those kids, they are new, refurbished Chromebooks. And here's the funny thing about it. You know, they had an unveiling, and I've got a picture up of the Chromebooks on our Facebook page. And when they took the covers off of the Chromebooks, behind those were balloons. Now, I was joking with Amanda Vozella. She's the executive director. I said, I got to tell you something. I think the balloons were a little bit more popular than the Chromebooks. And she started to laugh. She goes, yeah, my staff tells me quit putting up balloons. Because, I mean, those kids bolted for the balloons. Now, I saw one or two of the older kids who went to the Chromebooks to kind of start fooling around with them. But those younger kids were like, well, get these computers out of my way. There's a balloon back here. I just found it, you know, that's the heart of a kid. I mean, you see a Chromebook there, but right behind the Chromebook is balloons. What do you think they're going for?
Right on.
But it was pretty cool to see, and they, you know, 25 of them for those kids to use, and you know that Boys and Girls Club 5-year anniversary, and I remember when it opened over there off Mahalm Street, went into that school and was walking around on Monday, just thinking, man, this is, you talk about a great community partnership, is what happened here with all the donations from folks and stuff. It's a wonderful program, absolutely wonderful program, and tip. You know, Sarah Wallace and all those folks who said, we need this, we got to get this done, and then picking Amanda to run it. They've done a great job. It was a lot of fun over there Monday. And then they got Taco Bell, too. So AT&T, hats off to them, too. They're no dummies. Bring in Chromebooks, but bring in food, too. Now they're like number one with, hey, Ma, hey, Dad, you ever heard of this AT&T? Here's what they did for us.
Right,
so.
On.
You know, great. But I talked to Sarah Briggs, a vice president, and it's really near and dear to her heart. So, you know, hats off to them.
Absolutely.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, and I mean, you know, that's what Newark City schools use, the Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it just makes sense.
Yep. It all flows into it nicely. Again, be sure to join us on Friday as Matt Allison with Licking County Transit will be here. He's going to be talking a lot about what they're doing. And, of course, one of those is now going to be having that Heath route that they hope to get up and running in January, so it'll be interesting to hear from Matt how things are going. Obviously going very well, but they're able to add another route to the fixed route system. So it's great news for Licking County and folks who need that service. So be sure to join us Friday morning at 9. Talk of the Town, we'll have Matt Allison, Executive Director, Licking County Transit.